Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Fantasy Footbear Podcast. I'm James Kemp, joined as always by my good friend and fierce fantasy rival, Dr. Michael Stewart. Dr. Stu, how are we feeling, buddy?
Feeling good, James. Thank you for asking. I appreciate it. It's another beautiful Tuesday. The sun is almost set, even though it's about 5 p.m. Eastern time. There's snow on the ground. I'm not happy about that. But on the upside, I secured a division championship in our
That's
league.
Good.
So I've clinched the playoffs, and I'm feeling good about that. This week of fantasy doesn't really matter that much to me. I'm sure it matters to my seeding, but ultimately I'm not, you know, active enough to try to figure out all the permutations like I'm sure you do and have. But before we get into an exciting week 14, I want to hear how you're doing.
I'm doing fine. I like snow. Generally, or at least early in the season, I like snow. Indy likes snow too. We got like 12 inches here, or close to 12 inches. So Indy has loved going into backyard and running around like a chicken with his head cut off. And he was running around as the snow was coming down, and he took like this big red rubber bone with him. He did not bring it in, and it got covered in snow, and I have no idea where it is. I went out trying to look for it today, and Indy dug out a giant stick that was under several inches of snow. So that thing, I'll probably find it in, like, April. So I'm feeling good. Fantasy football is a great thing, and we're going to talk about it today. So for week 14, for most of you, probably almost all of you, this is the last week of your regular season. You have either clinched one way or another, in or out, or this is a must-win week for you. So, we're going to take this week seriously. We're going to make sure that you put yourself in the best position possible for those week one playoff matchups, and we are going to help you try to win a championship here. And that starts with not starting guys who are on bye. So those four bye teams that we have this week, last week we had a full league playing. This week we are two games less because the Panthers, Patriots, Giants, and 49ers are on bye. So if you had Bryce Young, Rico Dowdle, Chuba Hubbard, Tet McMillan, Jackson Dart, Tyrone Tracy, Devin Singletary, Wandale Robinson, Theo Johnson, Drake May, Travion Henderson, Ramondre Stevenson, Kayshon Booty, Stephon Diggs, Hunter Henry, Christian McCaffrey, Brock Purdy, or George Kittle, or any combination of 49ers wide receivers, you are going to be without them this week. So we're going to give you some other options. We're going to talk about who is available, and we are going to talk Week 14 fantasy football. And that is going to start for us with Thursday Night Football. I'm leading us off this week. And the Detroit Lions are hosting the Dallas Cowboys, where the Lions are 3-point favorites. I think this one could conceivably go either way. I think the Lions are favorites because they should be favorites, but there are chinks in the armor that we've seen. However, a lot of those problems are coming on defense and weird play calling from Dan Campbell. So let's start with the Cowboys, who have a chance to do something unexpected this week. Dak Prescott, your quarterback, he's the QB10. Not a bad option this week, I don't think. He's been productive enough to be a starter most weeks. I think you could do a lot worse than Dak Prescott this week. Just seeing what other matchups are out there for situational streamers. If you chose to run him out there this week, I would not feel bad about that at all. Just know it's one of those start and duck. Javonte Williams remains the only relevant back here in Dallas. He's the RB8. Even if his production is slowed down during the back half of the season, he's still a really good option. He still has RB1 potential. I just probably would slot him into a high RB2 instead of an RB1 ranking. Just understand what you're getting here. Jake Ferguson, tight end 3, auto start. And those two fantastic Cowboys receivers, George Pickens and CeeDee Lamb. And it kind of seems like that's the order. It's not how we expected it to be, but both receivers are definitely productive and definitely usable. So if you got both, start them both. I like them both. That's about it for the Cowboys. Moving over to the Lions. Jared Goff, another matchup-dependent guy. Not quite as productive as Dak Prescott when he has had those good matchups for him, but this is a very good one. The Cowboys defense, as we know, never came back from summer break. So this is a good week for Jared Goff to have a good week. That is, unless Jahmyr Gibbs just runs for like 600 yards and puts them up six touchdowns before they need to start passing. Jahmyr Gibbs is the RB4. He is an auto start. David Montgomery, we saw him score last week, but that didn't elevate his point total as much as you'd think a game like that would. He is the RB22, which does tell you he's in the low RB2 range, but his ceiling is still too low for me to trust. I don't want to start him. I would rather go get somebody who has some bigger boom potential. And if we're looking at flexes, Jameson Williams is a guy who has about as high a ceiling and as low a floor as you could hope to. He has been booming more of the last few weeks than not. But just remember what he is. Remember, he is a guy who can go downfield and get you a quick touchdown for a ton of yards, ton of points real quick. But the matchup's got to be there. And I think it may be this week. I like Jameson Williams as a flex play. And obviously, Amon-Ra St. Brown is Amon-Ra St. Brown. When he's healthy, he is an auto start. However, he didn't practice today. He's working through an ankle sprain. It's unclear if he's going to be available. It sounds like he probably will be, but isn't going to be at 100%. I would just monitor that as we go along. And Sam Laporta is a tight end 7. Keep using him. Stu, go ahead and take us to Sunday.
Well, we can use Sam Laporta when he's not on IR.
I missed that. Yep. Okay. IR.
One of these
Don't
days,
use Sam Laporta.
He'll
next
he'll
year.
Come back.
Use him next year.
Yes, use him next year. We'll draft him. We'll talk about that. You just have to stay tuned. All right,
don't
next up,
don't
we
overdraft
get to go to Minnesota, where the Commanders are visiting the Vikings. It's nasty stuff. We learned the depths to which the Vikings could sink last week when they started third stringer quarterback Brosmer was his name. Matt Brosmer.
That was
four interceptions
really
or something. It was bad. They were shut out. They were easily handled. Justin Jefferson walked out of the stadium without talking to reporters. The vibes are bad. I'm going to make it pretty easy for Minnesota. I don't want to start anybody. It would hurt me inside to sit Justin Jefferson, or maybe it's cathartic. I don't actually own him myself in any of the leagues, but if it's cathartic for you to bench Justin Jefferson, just do it. Even with J.J. McCarthy coming back and presumably clearing concussion protocol, I don't really want anything to do with this team in a win or die kind of situation. So get him on your bench. Maybe, I don't know, maybe Tom Brady comes out of retirement, gets hired by the Vikings, and you can play them in the playoffs. But I don't want any part of them in Week 14. For the Commanders, who had a very entertaining game this past Sunday, there's a lot to be excited about. Number one, quarterback Jaden Daniels, who has been out for the last few weeks with a dislocated elbow, left elbow, non-throwing. He has a chance to play this week. So you need to be aware of that, especially when considering his skill position players. As far as Jaden, you know, I wouldn't be thrilled to play him in his first game back in a do-or-die situation, but you may be forced to do something like that. His skill position players, Deebo Samuel, has been pretty consistent, pretty steady, worthy of start consideration as a low or mid wide receiver 2. And then the big story is Terry McLaurin, their incumbent wide receiver one, earned a huge payday over the offseason, and then has been hurt basically the entirety of this season. It was, what was it, a month and a half ago I told you to drop him? Maybe people out there did drop him, and you need to get him on your team because he came back and was very effective. I know that he had his touchdown in overtime, which is not something that's going to happen every game. You're not always going to have overtime. But he also had a 30-yard touchdown that was called back for a penalty. So if he's going to produce like this and have 14 targets in a game against Denver, I mean, Denver has a excellent pass-related defense, and Terry McLaurin could be the key to a lot of championships if you can get him on your roster. Right now he's rostered in 80% of leagues, so there are leagues out there on ESPN that you can go get him. For the other guys in the commies, we've got Zach Ertz, who had something like, 10 receptions, over 100 yards last game, 13 targets for him in a very pass-happy game against Denver. You can go ahead and keep starting Zach Ertz as a tight end one, albeit a low-end tight end one. One guy I do want to highlight is running back Chris Rodriguez Jr. It's been kind of a slog getting through the Commanders running backs throughout this season between Ja'Cory Kroski-Merritt, Austin Eckler when he was still healthy, McNichols, and then Chris Rodriguez Jr. But at this point, the person who has the highest upside for getting touchdowns is Rodriguez. He's owned sparingly in ESPN leagues as well. So you can look to get him on your bench if you need a desperation play to save your season. Let's see. I think that pretty much does it for the applicable people for the Commanders, James. So I'm going to push it to you to talk about another lovely matchup between two excellent teams, the Jets and the Dolphins.
Easily one of the games of the season. Can confirm that this game is happening in 2025 and can confirm it's going to be played. The Miami Dolphins traveling to New Jersey to play against the Jets, where Miami is a 2.5-point favorite. This is going to be a quest of which team wants to not be there the least. And I think that's probably the Dolphins. They seem like the team that least not wants to be there. And that's largely because Devon Achane is a very good football player. He's sitting at the RB3, and he should continue to be used as such. He is a very good football player. And if you have him, you are probably very happy that you do. There's probably no one else on the Dolphins who you are happy about. Jalen Waddle returned from injury, or returned from bye, rather, last week, to 6 targets, 3 catches, and not a lot going on the ground. Darren Waller, however, did return from IR, played Sunday, and led the team in yardage. Stu, do you want to guess what yardage number Darren Waller led the team with?
I honestly think I looked at this. Was it like 27?
It was more than that. It was 47. Oh, 47, but with okay. Your leading receiver only getting 47 yards, it's pretty indicative of how your passing game is going, and against the Saints, no less. So, there's not a lot to be happy about or excited about for the Dolphins, except for Devon Achane. Not even going to say any other names of any other Dolphins. Let's move over to New York, where the situation is not a whole lot different. I am not going to say the names of either possible quarterback who could suit up, even though it is probably going to be Tyrod Taylor again. I just said the name. I lied. But the only guy who you really have who you can start is Breece Hall. He is the RB12, but as I think I said last week, only half of his games are double digits. Last week, he got to that point. So you started him at RB2, you ducked, and it didn't backfire on you. Same thing this week. Could go either way. Start him as an RB2 and duck. If you got other options, check out those other options. Shout out to A.D. Mitchell, who had a massive game last week. Don't take the cheese. Even though he did that, you can't ignore the rest of the body of work that shows that he is broken. You're not going to do that. Garrett Wilson, done for the regular season. John Mechie, still can't use him. Mason Taylor can't use him. Just so many great games in the NFL this back half of the season, Dr. Stu.
Yes, there is.
take us to another one.
Oh, I'm raring to go. Let's get on and talk about the Tennessee Titans visiting the Cleveland Browns. I did neglect to talk about lines in my first lineup, but I do want to highlight this one because it's hilarious. But the Browns are 4.5-point home favorites with an over-under of 33.5. 33.5. By far the lowest over-under of this week. So I get the stinkiest stinker of all the games to talk about. Let's start with the Titans. You don't want anything. You want nothing.
Nothing.
Gene Wilder in Willy Wonka. You want nothing. You get nothing. Don't start Titans. Don't roster Titans. Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard, I guess you could throw on there, but are you really starting either of them in the playoffs? Like, are you not eliminated yet if you're playing these guys? No idea. I'm screaming questions into the void right now. For the Browns, moderately more exciting. We've got two relevant fantasy players. Quinshon Judkins is 100% in RB1, locked and loaded. This is going to be great for him. And then Harold Fannin Jr. is still worth a look as a tight end one. He caught a touchdown last week in a game that was highly affected by weather. I don't know if anybody watched that game, but there were some super high winds, and it definitely was playing a role in the passing attack for the Browns. So even in better weather, we're still not starting Shedeur Sanders. Jerry Jeudy is still not even a quarter of what CeeDee Lamb is to a franchise. James, I only said that for your benefit. And then David Njoku is an afterthought in a passing attack that is already an afterthought. Sweet. A crisp 45-second rundown of that game. James, we've got a divisional matchup, Ravens and Steelers next.
So before we go to a game that is actually going to be good, I got a question for you. I got a question for you, Stu.
Yeah.
So first question, would you agree that it is better for us as fantasy football people if there are more good teams in the NFL?
I mean, I would say yes, that is better, objectively speaking, for our fantasy football to have better teams because there are better players and better players put up more points.
So with the Tennessee Titans being god-awful, their season ended a while ago. How would you say that they should look to improve so that next year they're looking at like being more like, say, the Panthers, who are not great but are... Scrappy. Yeah. How do you go from really freaking bad to scrappy?
See, what I want to say is immediately from the ground up, build an offensive line because offensive success is built from the line. But I'm pretty sure I'm going to look this up really quick as I kind of vamp. I'm pretty sure the Tennessee Titans offensive line is one of the highest paid in the NFL. I heard that sometime recently. Oh, here we go. Offensive line. I mean, they've got their center making $14 million. Their left tackle is making $10 million. One of their guards, Zeitler, is making $9 million. So, I mean, they're at least paying people, but they're still just god-awful. So I'm really just going to answer your question by saying I don't want to answer your question. I'm not an NFL GM, and thank God for that because I look at the Tennessee Titans, and it just makes me... Well, I want to laugh as a Colts fan, but it also just makes me sad, really.
Yeah, it was kind of gross. But anyway, let's talk about the AFC going to Baltimore. The Steelers are the Ravens are 6.5-point favorites over the Steelers, and with the way that the Ravens have been playing, I'm not sure that is a very smart line. Granted, the Steelers are also looking pretty bad, so this could be a bad game disguised as a good game. When you see these two teams going up against each other, you usually don't expect it to look like a Thursday night game on Sunday at noon, but here we are. Starting with the Steelers, Aaron Rodgers, never again. Let's just put that out there. Never again, if you wanted to start him, don't. There you go. Made that decision for you. Looking at the running backs, at this point, this is really the only thing going for the Steelers that I want anything to do with. Jaylen Warren has been a more or less sort of reliable guy on the ground. Plays better in positive game script and produces better in positive game script. And we saw him produce decently last week with negative game script. So that just shows me that the offensive play callers are probably looking at him as being the more important guy of the two. Kenneth Gainwell, we saw him produce solidly throughout different pockets of the season, but it just kind of seems like there's not enough work for him to be usable. I still think he's a stash, but Jaylen Warren, if you want a decent floor, he's a solid choice for you. DK Metcalf, I am done with you. I'm done with Aaron Rodgers. I am done with DK Metcalf. See you next season. I hope you have a better quarterback and a better team. No one else is worth talking about in the black and yellow. Let's go to the Ravens. I have thoughts on the Ravens that have kind of been festering over the course of the season. I have said that Lamar Jackson looks like he is broken. I have said that play calling looks like it's broken. I've said that scheming looks like it's broken. It all kind of seems like it's broken. I have been saying for the better part of the season not to overthink it and just keep going with Lamar Jackson. I think it's time to start overthinking it. I think it's time we look for other options. I'm done with Lamar Jackson for the moment. He needs to show me something that looks like competent football. The Ravens overall need to show me something that looks like competent football before I consider using him again. Derrick Henry, I'm not overthinking that one. He's going to stay an auto start for me. Zay Flowers, I'm done with. I'll consider Mark Andrews because what we have talked about the tight end position over the course of the better part of a year. And the Steelers have allowed solid tight end play, so we'll give Mark Andrews the benefit of the doubt. If for the reasons that we've talked about, he's good when he scores and, you know, it's tight ends. Man, I didn't expect these two teams to irritate me in the way they did while I was talking to them. So talk to me about a better team, Stu.
Yeah, absolutely. I can take us to an actual fun game between a couple of birds. We've got
Cacao!
The Falcons and the Seahawks. Let's see. So Falcons are playing at home, and the line over there is Seahawks are 7-point favorites as they are on the road in Atlanta with an over-under of 44.5. So talking about the Seahawks first, it was a weird one last week as they manhandled Minnesota. They really didn't have to do anything on offense. So if you had offensive pieces in your fantasy lineups, you were likely very disappointed unless you had Zach Charbonnet, who scored the lone offensive touchdown, or Kenneth Walker, who still put up a reasonably okay day for how everything went. I'm just washing that one down. That was a weird game. Minnesota is bad. We all know that. We talked about them. You still want to put in Jackson Smith and Jigba into your lineup. He's a lock. He's the wide receiver one in PBR. He's doing amazing. For the other wide receivers, Rashid Shaheed, I don't know why they traded for him, to not use him, but he's not fantasy relevant. And Cooper Kupp remains not fantasy relevant, just like he was at the beginning of the season. Another pass catcher, A.J. Barner, the tight end. Young guy. He's doing all right. I don't think he's there yet that we need to be starting him on a consistent basis, and I definitely don't think you need to be starting him in this week. You probably have better options, but next year is his year, I think. Maybe. Possibly. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. For the running backs, we do have Ken Walker and Zach Charbonnet. It's just more of the same. You can start Ken Walker over Charbonnet, and I would prefer it to be that way, but if you're really desperate and need a flex, Charbonnet can fill in just as well. On the flip side, we do have Atlanta. Bijan Robinson lit the world on fire last week. Finally, he's, you know, having these explosion weeks, two in the last three. So he looks to keep that rolling against a Seahawks defense that is quite strong and adept. So you're still starting him no matter what, but maybe with a little, you know, bad taste in the back of your throat. The big story for the Falcons is Drake London, who's missed time now with his PCL sprain. He's currently being listed as day-to-day and has a chance, quote-unquote, sorry, he quote-unquote certainly has a chance to play on Sunday. If he is out there, start your studs. Get him in the lineup in this do-or-die week 14 right before the playoffs. You got to get in or you're going to go down swinging. The other people, Darnell Mooney, that experiment has been over for a month and a half now. Kyle Pitts, you could start him, but I wouldn't. He only got good production because Drake London was out last week. He'll go back to his, you know, 3 to 5 targets and 2 to 3 receptions for a day's work at the office. So not really interested there. And then Kirk Cousins, I don't know why anybody would want to start him at this point in his career, but he exists and plays football and is available in free agency if you want to do that. But you shouldn't. I'm going to tell you that you should not. James, you get to talk about the Colts this week. Congrats, you win the lottery. Talk about how disappointing they are.
Okay, that game was a little bit ugly against the Texans. It looked like at any point that the Colts could put something together and win that game, but it also looked like the defense, with all of the injuries they've had to it, from DeForest Buckner to Sauce Gardner, looked like there just wasn't enough in the tank to get a stop when they needed one. That's bad. So, looking at the offense, it hasn't moved the ball as well over the past couple weeks, at least since the first half of the Chiefs game. Hasn't moved it as well as it has during the early goings of the season, which is giving us a little bit of pause. But we do need to remember that the Chiefs have a very good defense and the Texans have a very good defense. The Jaguars, though leading the AFC South somehow, do not have the defense of either of those teams. So this is kind of where we're going to find out what the problem is with the offense. Is it just matchup specific things, or is Daniel Jones' health issues really something to be concerned about? He is still the QB5. While health is a concern with that fractured fibula he's playing through, he's really still playing well enough in most cases to win, at least in fantasy football. I still think he's a start this week, but we're all a little bit concerned about how this is going to go down. Jonathan Taylor's still an RB1, still an MVP caliber player. You got to start him. Tyler Warren, probably my favorite for rookie of the year. You might have some other people saying other things like Emeka Egbuka, maybe Jackson Dart. But I like Tyler Warren. The receivers, however, are something different. Michael Pittman wasn't really featured last week. He has been relatively productive over the season at large. I like him as a wide receiver too this week. I'm overthinking it a little bit by choosing to start him, but he's just got too much potential to leave on the bench. Josh Downs is not an option, and Alec Pierce might be a smart flex with the way that he's been kind of taking over an important role in the past few weeks. Also, did you see that Alec Pierce was the one to knock down the Texans' Hail Mary at the end of the first half? That was a fun little thing. Would have been cool to see him get a few extra points in case he got an interception, but he did the smart thing and knocked it down. Moving over to the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence, not an option this week. He has been a mostly non-usable guy over the course of the season, and that's going to remain consistent this week. Running backs, Travis Etienne, I don't even really know anymore. He's the RB16. I think mid to low tier running back 2 this week is probably something that makes sense, but considering the injuries that the Colts have had, I'm not sure. They still look decently good against the run, so I could see them shutting down Travis Etienne. That's why I say mid to low RB2. If you got other options, consider them strongly. Bashaw Tootin, I wouldn't. But Brian Thomas Jr. is coming back, and it seems he has been replaced by Jacoby Myers. Jacoby Myers has been the favorite target of Trevor Lawrence since he has showed up. And Brian Thomas, with his really bad start slash completion season, is not going to be a focal point in this offense. If he is, it's going to be a fluke, and he may get a bunch of targets, but he may drop a bunch of them too. Jacoby Myers seems very clearly like the guy to have, and I'm putting him in flex territory this week. Parker Washington, I'm not taking that cheese. Only other guy on the Jaguars I want to talk about, I know I talked about a lot of them, but Brenton Strange, he's had back-to-back top eight tight end weeks. He's not someone who I really think is a true option to start, but I like giving love to guys who play well, and if you like streaky guys, he's on a streak. Stu, take us to Tampa.
Yes, we've got the Buccaneers and the Saints. The Buccaneers playing at home this time. The line is Buccaneers are 8.5-point home favorites with an over-under of 42.5. And the Saints, you know, they're not the worst thing ever. They're okay. Tyler Shuck's been playing better than I thought he would play. And you know what? That's just on me for being pessimistic. He's still not fantasy relevant, but good on him. Chris Olave is definitely one you can start as a wide receiver one. He's been a very, very consistent producer over the course of this fantasy season. Very happy about that, as, again, I doubted him coming into the season. We have no other wide receivers that are super interesting to talk about on the Saints, so we're going to move over to the running backs. We do have Alvin Kamara. He still exists. He's still alive. He has an MCL sprain. Really no word whether he's going to be practicing in full this week or has a chance to play in this Buccaneers game, but that kind of just pushes the work down to Devin Neal, the rookie. I think he was a sixth rounder, Devin Neal. He played pretty well against Miami. Miami is a beatable run defense, but for a running back playing on a poor or less than average team like the Saints, you could definitely throw Devin Neal in your lineups in an emergency if Alvin Kamara is out. Juwan Johnson, tight end 7 on the year in PPR, merits start consideration, albeit not very exciting start consideration. I do want to give some love to Devon Vele. He was traded from the Broncos, what feels like forever ago, to play for the New Orleans Saints. He had a great blow-up week last week, caught a touchdown on 8 targets. 100% catch rate, good for him. He's not relevant for fantasy at all, but had a good week. Moving over to Tampa Bay, there's just a lot of moving pieces in Tampa Bay. We got Bucky Irving back. That's the biggest positive news. He played on something like 50% of the snaps. I made sure to go look that up and see how much he got. Even on 50% of the snaps, he had a great day. Scored a touchdown on the ground. Had a couple catches through the air. Definitely worthwhile to slot him back in as a high running back 2 or a low running back 1. Of course, that pushes Sean Tucker into no man's land. He will always have week 11, but he's not relevant anymore. You can go ahead and drop him. The wide receivers, it's just more moving parts over here. So we got Chris Godwin back. Again, good news. It looks like he's ramping up. He caught 3 of 5 targets last week for 78 yards. Looked better if you watch the tape. He looked a little healthier, which is great. He's not fantasy relevant at this time. I don't even think he really necessarily needs to be rostered, but if this trend continues, you could throw him on the end of your bench and hope and pray for something perhaps in the playoffs. His compatriot, Emeka Egbuka, is trending a little bit in the downward direction. I don't know if anybody's been keeping track, but since week 5, Emeka Egbuka has scored double-digit fantasy points in PPR scoring exactly one time. So does he merit every week start consideration? No. And I don't think he has for a little while. But I do think you can start Emeka Egbuka against a beatable Saints defense. He should have a better week this week, I think. We do have tight end Kate Otten, not relevant. and a couple of other people coming back on the horizon. We've got Mike Evans, as well as Jalen McMillan. There's a name you probably haven't heard for a very long time, but both of them have a chance to start practicing this week. Whether they're suited up against the Saints, I would doubt it heavily, but those guys are coming back, and it only means good things for Baker Mayfield, who has been stumbling a little bit, fighting that left shoulder injury. If there is anyone more primed for a great fantasy playoff kind of time frame, I think it's Baker Mayfield. He has all the opportunity, all the playmakers in front of him to have a really, really strong finish to the season. So if you have him, I would definitely hold on to him. Don't let him go. You can keep starting him this week. I think that's fine. But it might be still a little bit lumpy and bumpy for the next week or two. And see, that's pretty much all I wanted to talk about for the Buccaneers. So, James, next up, we've got the Bills and Bengals.
All right. This is one that I do think is a lot more interesting than it looks like it is on paper. And the big reason for that is obviously because Joe Burrow is back, and he played well enough to beat the Ravens last week and thoroughly outplay Lamar Jackson. And I just want to contextualize this a little bit for everybody. So in the wild card, the team that the Bengals are chasing is the Bills, and they are 5 games behind the Bills. The Bills are 8-4. The Bengals are 4-8. However, the Bengals aren't chasing the Bills because the AFC North, the Bengals are only 2 games behind the Ravens with 5 games to go. Ravens are 6-6. Steelers are also 6-6, and the Bengals are 4-8. The AFC North is wide open. The Bengals actually have everything to play for. And with everybody being back and being relatively healthy, this is a very exciting time to have some Bengals. So, yes, the Bills have a solid defense, but the Bengals have Joe Burrow, and that is an awesome thing to have. It's like we skipped the early season Joe Burrow, the early season Zach Taylor, where nothing was working and everything sucked, and we just got to fast forward. Well, we didn't fast forward. We kind of stumbled through all of it, but we just get to see Joe Burrow playing in midseason form. And he's fresh, he's thrown the ball well, he's performing, and I'm really excited to see what this game ends up being. Yes, the Bills are 5.5-point favorites. I think the Bengals, if they don't win, I think they keep it close. So I'm starting Joe Burrow this week. I'm starting Ja'Marr Chase, obviously. T. Higgins missed week 13. He should be available. It was a concussion he was out with, but continue monitoring that. With the short week, that was really the reason he was out. I also don't think he practiced today for the concussion, but just keep an eye on it. I think he's going to play. And I'd like to shout out guys who do things. Andre Yoshivash doesn't get enough volume to be usable, but I think he's fun to watch. He comes up with big balls here and there. And Chase Brown has become a weekly start. Looks like a solid high RB2, low RB1. Again, keep rolling that. Let's go to the Bills. Josh Allen is the QB3. Continues to be an auto start unless the Bengals defense comes through in the way like they did against the Ravens. Is everything coming together, or are the Ravens just kind of bad? Could be either. James Cook remains an auto start. I'm going to say you don't start any other Bills. I'm not starting Dalton Kincaid. He has missed a few weeks. He's listed as questionable again. Hard to say if he's playing, but I don't love it even if he's healthy. Dawson Knox is irrelevant. Keon Coleman got the nod to come back after being out 2 weeks for disciplinary reasons. He did score a touchdown, but in fantasy, he wasn't missed. He didn't really do enough to be useful. And Khalil Shakir was even less relevant. The Bills very badly need a wide receiver. I hope that's something they address in the offseason. They don't have one. They're a team that can run the ball decently well when James Cook gets space or when Josh Allen does things with his legs. But past that, they very desperately need someone to catch a ball for them. And I think that's it. Stu, take us to the afternoon games.
Yes, we're going to go ahead and start with the Denver Broncos visiting the Las Vegas Raiders. The Broncos are 7.5-point road favorites with an over-under of 40.5. So let's go ahead and start with the more exciting team, the Denver Broncos. Bo Nix is a start. Look, most everyone is going to be a start against a team like Las Vegas. So Bo Nix is going to be in my start category. He's not exactly what I would call an exciting start. But if you're not going to start him against Las Vegas, I'm not sure who you would be excited about starting him for. Running backs, we got to see what it would look like out of the bye week with R.J. Harvey kind of taking over for J.K. Dobbins, who is out for, you know, the remainder of the fantasy season at the very least. So R.J. Harvey versus Jaleel McLaughlin versus Tyler Bidet, whatever. I always question my pronunciation of that every week, and I should just stop mentioning him. McLaughlin, for his credit, did get 6 carries, but R.J. Harvey was definitely the goal line back. He had the majority of the, you know, meaningful volume. And while he wasn't exactly efficient against Washington, I still think that that is going to translate into good production against the Raiders. So I look for Harvey to have a good running back to level day. For the pass catchers, we do have Cortland Sutton. Caught a touchdown last week against the Commanders. You're starting everybody against Las Vegas. Troy Franklin, the other wide receiver out there. It seems like Cortland Sutton and Troy Franklin can't both have good days at the same time. If they're ever going to have a good day at the same time, it is in Week 14 against the Raiders. Because if you can't catch my drift, the Raiders are not very good. Troy Franklin can be started as a flex. Cortland Sutton can be started as a wide receiver too. I would much rather play Sutton over Franklin. And then Marvin Mims, the last wide receiver, really, that we need to talk about, not super relevant unless there is an injury. Evan Ingram, tight end there in Denver, had himself a nice week last week. 9 targets? Awesome. Fantastic. Still not super interested in starting him. I think we know what Evan Ingram is, and this is an outlier blow-up game from him. On the flip side, Las Vegas, we're going to have a pretty quick conversation about them. Geno Smith, not applicable. Trey Tucker, not applicable to us. Jack Besh had himself some work last week, also not applicable to us. Brock Bowers, Ashton Jeanty. Those are the two guys that we need to talk about, and they're both going to be in your lineups. You should be excited about starting Bowers. He's a beast. That was an incredible one-handed catch that he had over the weekend, and it was entirely overshadowed by the other two incredible one-handed catches that we saw in Week 13. So, while I don't know. Do you think Brock Bowers' one-handed catch was the worst of the three, James?
I mean, I don't know. Just, like, by degree of difficulty, like, I'm not even sure he saw the ball before it was in his hands. So that's pretty crazy to me. Like, just where the body position was. I think it was deceptively extremely difficult, but they were all very impressive. But
pretty incredible one-handed catches. Honestly, when I saw Bowers' catch the first time, you know, it looked like an optical illusion. It looked like he had missed it completely. So, rule of cool. They were all amazing catches. Anyway, get him in your lineups. And then Ashton Jeanty, you're going to start him as an RB2, but against Denver, in playing for a team that's not known for passing the ball super well, he's probably not going to have a great day. So, you know, brace yourself for that. James, another good one. This is a cool divisional showdown. Why don't you take us to the Bears visiting Green Bay?
All right, this is going to be a fun one. I'm going to a watch party of this game on Sunday. But the Chicago Bears are traveling to Lambeau to face off against their arch rival, the Green Bay Packers, who are 5.5-point favorites. This is exciting because the Bears have a little bit of momentum going. They are the division leaders for the first time in a while. And everything that every Bears fan knows says that you go into Lambeau after a snowstorm, you have a little bit of momentum going, this is where your dreams go to die. And for most NFC North teams, that's the narrative. You go to Lambeau to die. But I believe that it's going to be different this time, and I believe that Caleb Williams is going to play well enough to win, but not well enough to get a start from me in fantasy football this week. He didn't play incredibly well against Philadelphia, but he did play well enough to get a win. It was probably more DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai, and it thanked the real heroes, the offensive line, who did most of the work. But he played well enough to get the job done. Caleb Williams has been on and off startable over the course of the season. I think that this week is not a good time to put him in unless you have already clinched the playoffs, your seeding is decided, and you're playing a Packers fan and you want to troll them, because I do think the Bears are going to win this week. I think that's a perfectly valid reason to start Caleb Williams, but not if you're actually wanting to win. I talked about DeAndre Swift and Kyle Manungai having good weeks last week. That is true. DeAndre Swift remains high RB2, low RB1 for me this week. And Kyle Manungai, I think he's into the solid emergency flex position with people losing a few solid running backs to buys this week, like Rico Dowdle, Trevion Henderson, and Run CMC. So Kyle Manungai is an option. There's nobody else on the Bears you want to start. Roma Dunze, even if he's the wide receiver 15, he's not relevant right now. DJ Moore, not relevant right now. Luther Burden, not rosterable. Shout out to Cole Kmet, who had a touchdown. He's not startable. And Colston Loveland is up to the tight end 27, not startable. Let's go to the Packers. Jordan Love, on a week-to-week basis, I'm going to say that there's a 1-in-5 chance any given week that he plays well. Those are odds you want to play with, so don't bet on him. Josh Jacobs is really the only guy I want here. He is returned to lead back duties after being injured. I would love to see him do something with more of those touches, unlike last week where he really didn't do a whole lot. I'm going to say don't overthink it. He's Josh Jacobs. It's the Bears. They're going to find some way to thrash him, and Josh Jacobs is going to be a big part of it. Shout out to Dontavian Wicks, 2 touchdowns. Still not going to be on my roster, nor is Jaden Reed, Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, or Matthew Golden. They may be on your roster. You may even, for some reason, choose to start them. I would not. Stu, take us to the West.
Yes, the West, where, I don't know, dreams come true or something. But not the Cardinals' dreams, who are playing host to the division-leading Los Angeles Rams. Line for this one, the Rams are 7.5-point road favorites and an over-under of 48.5. James, do you think we're expecting the Cardinals to score a lot of points?
No, I don't think so.
I think every single Ram needs to be in your lineup. Puka Nacua, Davante Adams, Kyron Williams, absolutely. Blake Corum, who honestly, I came into this episode wanting to shout out Blake Corum, so I'm glad that I got this opportunity. He needs to be rostered if he is not already. He plays very well. Kyron Williams lost a little bit of time against Carolina in Week 13, and Corum comes in, goes 7 for 81 with a touchdown, gets another touchdown vultured when Kyron came back at the tail end of a drive. If Kyron were to go down for any significant length of time, Corum could be... I always hesitate to use the words league winner, but there you go. The Rams are my Super Bowl favorite, as we've talked about in the past. If Kyron Williams were to go down, Corum needs to be started every single week. So at least get him on your bench. There's little else you can do with your bench right now that would be more valuable than that. Flipping over to the Cardinals, we do have Jacoby Brissett, who is... he's a weekly start at this point. Like, he's been that way for a couple weeks now. I have him in one specific league. I dropped Bo Nix for him, and while Bo Nix was snapped right up, I feel like people think I'm an idiot, but Jacoby goes out there, throws 250 yards, gets 2 touchdowns, and then Arizona loses the game anyway. So he needs to be a start this week in a game that they will have to throw. Running backs, Bam Knight is looking pretty good. So Trey Benson was threatening a return, and he was practicing in a limited fashion until the beginning part of this most recent week where he started not practicing again. So I would not expect to see Trey Benson suited up for game action anytime soon, if at all, for the rest of the year. It sounds like he's not doing super well. But his 21-day practice window was open, so if he doesn't play in this game, he's out for the rest of the season. So Bam Knight still looks pretty good. Even if it is a Rams team, you probably don't want to start him, but you could probably flex him and be just fine. Pass catchers, Trey McBride is a beast. You need to have him in your lineups. And we want to talk about the wide receivers, Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. Wilson was definitely adversely affected by the return of Harrison Jr. in last week's game, coming crashing down to earth. I don't think he's startable while they're both are active, but thankfully, Marvin Harrison Jr. has a big red Q next to his name. He has a heel injury. He lost a little bit of time in that loss against Tampa Bay, and we'll see if he is physically and, quote, mentally ready to play football, which I thought was an interesting quote. James, you referenced that, I think, last week. If Marvin Harrison's head is in the game, I mean, the Cardinals don't exactly have anything to play for, so if he's injured and they want to protect their star player, he could be sat out for no other reason than health. And then Michael Wilson becomes very, very relevant again. I feel like I talked for 30 seconds, but I'm done. Oh my gosh. James, next one, Chiefs-Texans.
Sunday Night Football. The Houston Texans travel to Arrowhead, where the whistles are weird and the Chiefs are 3.5-point favorites. So, we've seen 3 weeks in a row now that the Chiefs have gone in as underdogs against some of the best teams in the NFL. And in two of those 3 weeks, they've come out smelling like a rose. And now they go to Arrowhead, and I can only wonder if we're going to see something similar. So, looking at the Texans first, C.J. Stroud, just generally speaking, no, you're not going to start him. But let's talk about Nico Collins. Nico Collins, after his bad start to the season, has caught on quite a bit. For the past three of the last 4 weeks, he has had over 20 PPR points. And in four of the last 5 weeks, he's had double-digit targets, which is wild. That's production you can't ignore. However, and this isn't a however that's going to say don't start Nico Collins. Obviously, you're going to start Nico Collins. But the 1 week that he did not have that, he only had 8 PPR points, where he brought in 3 of 3 targets for 55 yards against the Bills. That was a primetime game. I believe it was Thursday, but still. And as much as we want to convince ourselves that playing in prime time and playing at weird times doesn't matter, it really kind of seems like it does. These guys are out of their routine. And playing in an outdoor game where almost everybody the Texans have played against recently has been in a dome. But the game he played poorly at was outdoors in Buffalo. So I think that reading the tea leaves, this is a good week to bet against Nico Collins, but you can't bet against a guy who's been having this kind of production. So you have to have him in, and I'm probably going to be wrong, and he's going to have like 3 touchdowns, and he's going to make sure that you clinch a playoff spot at the last second, but just know that I said that in case I'm right. Jaden Higgins carving out a really solid role for himself, but not a role that is one I'm really looking to do anything more than stash right now. I like him as a player. I don't think he's startable right now, but he's getting to the point where he's kind of close in some cases. Christian Kirk is a no. For the running backs, Woody Marks got banged up last week, didn't look great, didn't produce well. I think that even if he comes in ready to go, which it looks like he will, he's going to be a no for me, as is Nick Chubb, who should not be on rosters, even if he's the lead back. And Dalton Schultz is the tight end 11, I believe, and he looked good this past weekend. I like what he's been doing recently. Look at him to keep it going. And my last team for the week, before we throw it to Stu for Monday Night Football, is the Kansas City Chiefs, where Patrick Mahomes is still Patrick Mahomes, even if his team is not as good as Patrick Mahomes wants him to be. He's an auto start. Rashee Rice is an auto start. Travis Kelce is an auto start. I don't think there are any other auto starts. Xavier Worthy is an eternal matchup-based flex, who this week I'm not sure is someone you want. If you have to start him, you have to start him, but I'm not interested. Then there's the whole Isaiah Pacheco, Kareem Hunt thing. Last week it seemed like it was kind of not clear who was going to be the lead back. Kareem Hunt did end up getting the most fantasy points there. I guess he's the guy if you want to score touchdowns, but I wouldn't really trust any of those guys to give you reliable production at any point here, especially against a defense like this. So not looking forward to starting any of those running backs, not starting any of those wide receivers other than Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. Stu, close us out, buddy.
Yes, last game of week 14, we have the Eagles visiting the Los Angeles Chargers. The Eagles being 3-point road favorites moving over to L.A. The Eagles are just frustrating, man. I mean, for fantasy, it's pretty easy because you're still starting Jalen Hurts. You're still starting Saquon Barkley. You're just probably a little disappointed by it. You're still starting A.J. Brown, who has been red hot recently, even if they are losing a bunch of games. And then Devontae Smith, you could flex him. That would be fine. Dallas Goedert, the other one that you might consider, I don't think I'm starting him at this point. He's had about a month now that he's been pretty down. And if the Eagles are going to be losing games, I don't really want any part of Goddard. They're just frustrating because they should be so much better, and they're just not. So I don't love talking about the Eagles. I don't love watching the Eagles. That's pretty much it. I probably will not be tuning into this game. I'll catch the condensed game later on to see how everything went. But a couple of start candidates, Barkley, Hurts, Brown. You could start Smith, and then really no one else is super interesting. On the other side, we have a couple different storylines that are interesting to talk about. Justin Herbert broke a bone in his non-throwing hand against the Raiders. I don't know if you are keeping track with me, James, but it seems like every time he plays the Raiders, he gets hurt. I mean, I think it was last year he broke a finger in Max Crosby's helmet, and now he's got a broken bone in his hand. So he needs to watch out when he plays the Raiders. But he had successful surgery Monday morning, and they're currently saying that it's a pain management deal. He could play this week. Now, I certainly would doubt that, and for fantasy purposes, I am keeping him squarely on the bench or even dropping him if I really need a replacement because, number one, I'm not starting him when he just had surgery on his non-throwing hand. He could be knocked out of that game at any point. And number two, he's going up against Philadelphia, so not a really great option at quarterback this week. Get Justin Herbert out of your lineups. The other fun storyline is Omarion Hampton. Rookie Omarion Hampton should be back this week. Congratulations, kid. We haven't seen you since week 5. Go play against the Eagles. I'm not interested in starting him, but you may have held him all season for this moment and are probably pretty desperate if you held him this entire time while he's been injured. So if you need to play him in a do or die game, I get it, but all I'm going to do is give you the Hunger Games salute with three fingers up. Just, good luck. Have fun. Kamani Vidal, the replacement running back while Omarion Hampton has been injured. It's really honestly hilarious because it's every other week he has been incredible or awful. And he was incredible against Las Vegas. It's time for him to be awful. He's going up against Philadelphia with Omarion Hampton coming back. Thank you for your service, Kamani. You're out of our fantasy lineups. Pass catchers. Talking about Keenan Allen, Ladd McConkey, Quentin Johnston, the only one I would even think about starting is Ladd McConkey, and even then, with likely backup Trey Lance throwing the ball to him. I'm going to look long and hard for replacements for every single pass catcher. And Gadsden, the tight end, he's definitely cooled off since his little four-game hot streak a couple weeks ago. So he doesn't need to be in consideration for us either. James, week 14, the last week before playoff action in fantasy football. How you feeling?
I am feeling like this is a good time to have a drink. And I feel like I want to know what you're drinking tonight. It's our last call, Dr. Stu. What you got?
Yes, I'm going to go ahead and go to Safe Oldie, one of my favorite beers on the market ever had, the Left Hand Brewing Company Milk Stout. It's incredible. If you haven't had it, you should try it. ABV of 6%. Very drinkable, very tasty, very dark. You should try it. I do. A lot. So, James, what are you drinking tonight?
Tonight, I am drinking from New Holland Brewery from New Holland, Michigan. Or just Holland, Michigan. Is it New Holland or Holland? I don't know. I've never been there. But anyway, from New Holland Brewing is the Uber Space Machine Hazy Imperial IPA. And Stu, let's see if you remember what Imperial means. What does Imperial mean?
It was made by the Empire. Obviously.
Obviously.
Yeah, sorry. I was trying to reach for a joke, and then I couldn't figure out how to tie it to the Star Wars Empire. Oh, man. Okay, I just talked for an hour. You got to give me a little bit of a break. I'm not a funny person.
I know. I think you're funny.
Oh, thanks,
funny
man.
Looking, oh. But I can't see you because it's a podcast. But you look great, Stu. I can't see you, but you look great. But anyway, Imperial means that it has a lot of alcohol in it. And if you want to know why that's what it means, I talked about it in a previous episode. Go listen to our entire backlog of episodes and find out. But anyway, it is a 9.7 ABV beer, which I'm going to open in 3, 2, 1. Ah, Stu, give us your closing thoughts, my friend.
Closing thoughts. Reach out to us on our socials on X and Instagram at FantasyFootBeer on both platforms. Let us know your start-sit questions, how you're feeling going into this do-or-die game, or maybe you've already clinched one way or another and you want to celebrate or commiserate. Talk with us. Always happy to chat with people. We do take beer recommendations and requests at FantasyFootBeer@gmail.com. So reach out to us, tell us what you like to drink, what you would like us to sample on the air. If we can get a hold of it, we will get a hold of it. So, other than that, thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate each and every one of you from the bottom of our hearts. Yeah, you know, just thanks. It's a lot of fantasy podcasts to choose from, and we're glad that you chose ours. James, take us home for week 14.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We have entered the month of December. This is when winning matters. You want to win September or August through September, October, November, whatever. But this is winning time. Don't lose focus. Don't start thinking that your roster is perfect just because you've won all of your games so far. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep doing what makes you good. And for all of us here at Fantasy Footbear, for Dr. Michael Stewart, I'm James Kemp. Good night. Good talk.